Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I'm honored to be here.
He can tell you what you can expect.
I expect you to stick to the deadlines you've agreed to.
I'm straight up mentally ill.
And I expect to be treated as such.
This is the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
And away we KGO go.
Harrison Ford and Steven Spielberg return for a fifth installment with Indiana Jones and the Colostomy Bag. It's yet another remake that will make you wish you were watching Mordecai. See Indiana Jones make his way through a bowl of oatmeal as he fights with a high-fiber diet. He's not using a whip to procure ancient artifacts. He is an ancient artifact, and he's leaning against a giant piece of Furs cafeteria meatloaf. Watch as Ford and Spielberg take a huge steaming turd on their own legacy. Will they make it? Depends. Indiana Jones and the Colostomy Bag, going straight to Netflix in 2019.
And by the way, so being nuked in a fridge didn't kill Indiana Jones, and it's not going to kill that damn franchise either. That's the way it goes. So he's going to roll. He's 73. He'll be 77 when the movie comes out. Harrison Ford and Steven Spielberg are going to do the fifth installment of Indiana Jones. It'll be out July of 2019. There's no word on the title yet, but sounds like they're going with the Force Awakens formula by adding young characters who could potentially take over. Please, no Shia LaBeouf. LaBeouf, LaBeouf. Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of Crystal Skull. That one really didn't work out. The other ones were great. That was 2008. So I assume Shia will not be back since he was in the Crystal of the Skull. All right, let's just get to it. I don't want to talk about anything else except what's going on at San Francisco State. All right, so happens that my intern, Brian Pelletier from the KGO Newsroom, joining me. Where do I even start with this? We'll get in depth with this later on. So, report. San Francisco State students seeking paid relationships with sugar daddies. Dwayne, what's up with that?
Okay, so I'm in a fraternity. So we went to this fraternity summit, and we overheard one of the sororities talking about a website where they can find sugar daddies. Mm-hmm. And we thought they were joking at first, but they were giving each other the websites and they were like, check it out. So it's basically like Facebook. It's a Facebook where you find your sugar daddy and where sugar daddies will find their sugar babies. And I mean, when you think about it, it's like, well, the living expenses in SF is expensive,
right?
Like,
yes.
But yeah, so my friends and I went on the website before.
Are we allowed to say what the name of the website is? Because it's out there.
It's called Seeking Arrangements.
Oh, Seeking Arrangements. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
And if you sign up with an EDU account, you get a free premium membership.
Well, it looks like you guys are looking for everything for free. That's for damn sure. I mean, come on.
So there goes more motivation.
Not to be confused with edible arrangements, by the way.
It is edible arrangements. What the hell are you talking about? That's what... What's the address now? Ding dong. Yes. Oh, my God. Yes, I have an Amex card in my back pocket. What more do you need to know?
So I have a question about this.
What is it?
Could you find a sugar mama, or is it just for the daddy baby situation?
I'm pretty sure it's... mostly for the female and male companionship, but I'm pretty sure that
sure
it's for everybody.
It'll be straight, yeah. Gay.
I think it will be. I think it's new. Also, I think this website's fairly new, so they're probably still testing out
exchanging
the kinks and all that
companionship.
Stuff. It's in beta, as
yeah,
they say.
Yeah, right. Basically.
Oh my God, it's gonna take off. That's for damn sure.
It is gonna take.
Yeah,
San Francisco is one of the biggest markets for sugar babies and sugar mamas. I remember reading a news article about this whole thing.
Well, why not?
Not,
but I mean, you know, but those of you middle-aged people listening, I know that you're going to jump literally all over this. I mean, let's just face it. It's because here's the thing about it. It's inappropriate for a middle-aged person to hit on someone your age. But when you are making the arrangement yourself, well, I'm just saying, you know, it's a totally different thing. And it's not like somebody middle-aged is playing you. You're playing them, and so the arrangement, it's out there, out front. It's right up front, and so there's no misunderstanding.
Good point, Drake.
Right?
And sugar mamas are actually called cougars.
Well, sure.
So I think they probably have like a sister site or something like that for cougars and for that relationship, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, by the way, I mean, we're having fun with this, but they are looking for ways to pay their bills, as you mentioned, via kindness or amorous benefactors. And I love that they're being honest about that, because a lot of people would say, well, this is just like straight up prostitution. But really, it's companionship. So, you know, I don't see how the law could stick their nose in the middle of this.
Yeah, it's...
They'd probably join in. Let's face it. Yeah.
It's basically companionship, and you're just giving your time to that person. So
pull over, Junior. All right. So this is where beautiful, successful people fuel mutually beneficial relationships. And they distinguish these sugar babies from sex workers, saying that it's a relationship and it's a gift. The idea is that these people will be generous. You know, they'll be willing to spoil. You know, they might not have time for traditional relationships, but they're willing to provide. And if we didn't do the stigmatism thing or that kind of material expectation, these relationships wouldn't have to be coded or secretive. Yeah, so, you know, why not get it out there? And I don't know. I think it's fine. You know, I had a friend. He passed away, but he was doing this thing. And his thing is that he got a lot out of it. And it really wasn't sex. He just enjoyed being in the company of younger people. And I think a lot of older people do like that. I mean, it's kind of like a mentor thing.
Oh, it can be. I mean, it is what you make it, right?
Well, I have to say, because, you know, with my buddy, and he's passed away, but it did look like that. It seemed inappropriate at the time, and I felt weird about the whole situation. I was thinking, you know, what are you up to? But he swore that it wasn't that. And by the way, you know, I mean, it did work both ways. He would hang out with him, and he was lonely, and I don't know.
A lot of the younger people that are in this position.
And he said there wasn't sex involved.
A lot of the younger people that are in this position are also adults, so they know what they're getting themselves into. Like, let's not fool ourselves with any of that.
Sure. Yes, you're an adult. Yeah. So if you want to hang out with a 40, 50, 60-year-old person who's got money to burn, you know, have a fabulous lifestyle. Right. And let's face it. I mean, these are the relationships. And, you know, my buddy, he helped him buy a house.
Whoa.
Yes. And then listen to this. He passed away suddenly. God bless him. And so the insurance policy on the mortgage kicked in, and the college student got the house.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yes.
Good for
him. And the college student surprisingly didn't kill him.
Surprisingly.
Just saying. All right. Okay. We're going to get to our first guest, and we'll talk more about this later. I think it's very interesting. Watch for this all over the news tomorrow.
Look at that. I got to talk to Dwayne. He's got some good ideas.
Yes, that's fantastic.
Bringing some interesting things to the table.
All these fun things that come out of San Francisco State, man. If I could do it all over again, I know where I'd be going.
That's San Francisco happens. State. SF State.
Yeah. All right. Okay, cool. So let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to Dr. Barry Bartusiak.
Yes.
Do I have that right? Okay, good. And we're going to talk about whitening your teeth. Now, you're probably saying to yourself, what the hell? I know how to do it. No, but there's a couple things about overdoing it and the correct way to do it, and we're going to discuss just for a little bit here, because I think it's fun.
Yeah, and apparently you don't want to end up with stumps in your mouth.
No, you don't. So there are important rules. He's a dentist, and we'll discuss coming up on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10.
Strap in, turn it up, and hang on. The Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Okay, an annual survey came out, and they found that the happiest people in America have all one thing. They have one thing in common, every single one of them. Good teeth. That's right. Apparently, people who are happy go to the dentist and take care of their teeth. Happy people are also more likely to be satisfied with their jobs, eat healthier, exercise more, and, well, you know what? They're not about their gingivitis and their gravy. So, by the way, you're in one of the happiest cities in America. That would be us, and I welcome my first guest. It is, Dr. Bartusiak. Good evening. Thank you for joining us.
Drex, thank you so much for having me. And I tell you what, I am a very happy man, and I'm a dentist, so, you know, it must be something that we do.
It is. So let me ask you, because people want their teeth white, and it reminded me, we were talking before the show, reminds me of the episode of Friends when Ross over-whitened his teeth, and then the black light glow thing, and his, it was crazy. And I think everybody remembers.
All good things in moderation, I think, right?
Right. But, you know, I was told that I can only dye myself, or whiten my teeth, one more time. You know, you hit 50, and my doctor said, one more time, and then that's it. So you want to talk about the dangers?
Well, of course. And, you know, I think, again, everything in moderation. And we do have to be careful because too much whitening can be a bad thing. And, you know, not only from an appearance aspect where that person kind of looks like they're auditioning for the Frozen theme or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, you'll go to the Donald Trump thing and you kind of look orange. So we have to be careful of that. So one of the things, you know, you get that chalky white appearance, and that can be damaging because now we've harmed the enamel and we made it more susceptible to decay. So that's not a good thing. And then also we have to look at, are we causing issues with our gum tissue? Are we irritating them? Are we causing that to be a problem? Because the gums are the foundation and the teeth are the house, so to speak, Drex. We want to make sure that we don't cause any harm by something that's doing good.
And you're right about that, because when I would use the strips, yes, it would irritate my gums. And when I would use the prescription stuff, yes, my teeth would be numb for days and they would actually hurt. Painful. So I'm eroding the enamel, am I right?
You are correct, right. So basically, up until about maybe 6 weeks ago, the only way to whiten your teeth was with abrasives or with something that had bleach in it. And so if you think about it and you say, enamel sort of has a honeycomb appearance, if you will, Drex, and what gets in there are, you know, wine and coffee and tea and stains, et cetera. And then the abrasives or the bleach kind of gets that out of there or roughens that surface and gets it out. But there's good news on the way.
Go ahead. What is the but?
Well, the great, actually, it just arrived on our shores. It's from Switzerland. And it's, are you ready for this? Black toothpaste, Drex.
Right. Yes, that's that's what I understand. Now, what is it? My mind automatically thinks charcoal.
Boy, I tell you what. You are very sharp. That is absolutely spot on. And what happens is it's activated charcoal. And so if you think about it, and many women in the audience will say, hey, I only use that with my facial conditioners and things of that nature,
sure,
and facial cleansers. So they're already into that. So they're, you know, women are a step ahead of us, Drex, and go figure, you know. And that no newsflash there, right?
Right.
So, yeah. And what happens is it's all natural. No preservatives, no bleach, no abrasives.
And by the way, so back to the whitening stuff, doesn't it have hydrogen peroxide in it too? Because isn't that what gives me a horrible upset stomach? I mean, it really bothers me when I do that whitening stuff.
Well, that and my wife's cooking, but that's another story for another day, Drex. But what happens is you're absolutely spot on again. Hydrogen peroxide can get into your system, and that's just not a good deal.
No.
So that hydrogen peroxide can get, and if we do it too much, then again, all things in moderation, we've gone a little bit over the edge and we've created an issue.
Okay. So I know that you want to talk about, and we're talking about this charcoal toothpaste. By the way,
you are
the dentist to the Pittsburgh Steelers. We won't hold that against you.
Now, I know your roots, Drex. Are you
I know. Oh, you just
busted
me.
Are you an Eagles guy?
Right. No, I'm from York, Pennsylvania, so we could never make up our minds whether we were Steelers or Eagles. That's funny that you figured that out. Busted, yes.
Oh, I did my research on you, big boy.
Actually, when I was younger, it was the Baltimore Colts. So there you
have
it. How about that?
And the legendary Johnny Unitas. So
yes,
that's pretty cool.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Okay,
Memorial Stadium, awesome place.
It really was.
Yeah.
You're just spot on. Look at you. All right, so let's talk about this black toothpaste and how it works. And by the way, is this a treatment or is this something that you use every day and it'll just take care of the business?
Well, yeah, I tell you what, it takes care of all of your needs because It has fluoride. So fluoride to your teeth is like lifting weights to your muscles. So it's going to make them strong and make them less prone to cavities. And if you do get a cavity, fluoride helps to slow down the process. So that's all of the winner. It's also the key points are what's not in it, probably. So no preservatives, no abrasives, no bleaching. So, you know, going back to preservatives, nobody in America woke up this morning and said, you know what, Drex, I need more preservatives in my life. Okay, let's get some more unnatural things going here. And so that's a big point. And so I thought, okay, let's give this a try. Brought it home. I knew something was on when I made my two teenage daughters happy.
Okay. Well, who who doesn't want whiter teeth? And I think sometimes that, you know, people want their teeth to look too white. And you actually, as a dentist, you want them to look natural. Am I right?
Boy, you're absolutely correct again. And kind of a good rule of thumb, Drex, is if you look at the whites of your eyes, they should almost match your teeth.
Okay.
That's just kind of a good little barometer.
Because the people who overdo it, I was making fun of Ross, but, you know, I think of some of my TV friends, and I think, dude, really, you need to tone that down a little bit. I know you're on TV, but...
Yeah, take it down a couple notches.
Right,
but,
turn it down.
Yeah, and also, you know, hey, you're going to be causing harm to your enamel, and that's
tough
to fix.
Okay.
You know, that's tough to fix. As I like to say, maintenance and prevention is cheap, treatment is expensive. And now you've created a treatment expense for yourself and as well as the, you know, whole nine yards there.
All right. So your website is curaprox.com. And the reason we want to talk about this is because it's something different. And I like the fact that it is activated charcoal. And it's so different than people eroding the enamel on their teeth. And I got into this with my dentist. He goes, oh, my God, yes, it's a big issue. It really is a problem. People come in here and I have to tell them, I have to turn them away all the time because I'm a moral dentist, you know.
Yep,
and I could sell this stuff every single day if I want to, but there are people who should not be whitening their teeth any more than they are.
Yes, and again, you know, too much of a good thing. You know, we can't have steak every night, so to speak, and we can't have, you know, chocolate for 24 hours all the time because, again, it leads to issues. You have your finger on the pulse. You're absolutely spot on.
Okay, so if black is the new white here with toothpaste, and is this something that I use every day? It's safe to use?
Yes, it is. Black is white toothpaste can be used every day. In fact, right before we came on, you know, I'm back east here in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and so, you know, it was time to brush my teeth and get ready for bed and get the kids ready a little bit and all that kind of good stuff, and here we were. Turning the sinks black, and, you know, when you use it the first time, I mean, you will go, you will have a little freak-out moment.
Yeah. So, yes, I just got it today, so I'm going to start using it, and I'll report
back. Oh, good, good. You got it. That's great.
Right.
So you will have a little freak-out moment, but everything comes off. It's not going to stain your teeth, and, you know, it's kind of cool, though, because do you have children, Drex?
No, but I wanted to ask, well, is it safe for children? I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, exactly, because, you know, I have four teenagers. Pray for me. So 13, 14, 16, and 19. And so the two daughters, you know, came home and said, all right, if I can pass their muster, okay, we might be onto something here. So they tried it. And then the next thing you know, they're on social media. And the next thing you know, I have their friends at school, you know, texting me and emailing me, can you bring home a tube for me? Can you bring home a tube for me? So I'm like, okay, we might be onto something here. So it's really caught fire on social media.
Okay, well, we will post it at KGORadio.com, and it's Curaprox, CuraProx.com, Curaprox.com. Dr. Barry, thank you very much for speaking to us tonight. I love it.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, Drex, and you have a great day, and enjoy the sunshine in California.
We're enjoying it. Right on.
Yeah, we're in a little cold snap here. So
sunshine in 68 today. All right, Dr. Barry, thank you so much. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back. Coming up, we'll talk about the opioid problem. Speaking of all things doctors, you know, the story that was released yesterday from the CDC, tone it down with opiates. Yes, we're going to chat about that coming up here in a minute on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10.
Fresh, live, local. The Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
All right, we're back. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10, and tomorrow's St. Patty's Day. So for you day drinkers, the next day, the next day is Friday. So if you don't come in, yes, we all know what time it is. But you have an excuse for your day drinking tomorrow. All right, I want to welcome my next guest, and we're going to steer clear of that, and we're going to talk about We're going to talk about drugs of all things. Thomas Gagliano is my guest, and he's the author and keynote speaker who has helped institutions and individuals nationwide with his unique approach to parenting and relationships, and is the author of Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper, The Cleanup Can Last a Lifetime. And yes, it can, Thomas. That's true. Really is.
Yes, it can.
Okay, you know, so go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, I think as parents, it's important to recognize our strengths and also recognize what areas maybe need a little tweaking. So, and when we talk about drugs, the most important responsibility I feel a parent can do is to create a safe place for their kids, a place where they could share their feelings, share their struggles, their curiosity with drugs. You know, a kid's got to feel like they can come to somebody to share their struggles with. And if it's not the parents, I don't think any parent out there wants them to solicit that information or advice from the wrong people. So we really have to create that safe place for our kids. Now, we're the decision makers, we're the rule makers, but a child needs to know that they're safe with their parents. And if they can't feel safe talking about their struggles, what happens to a child is they start to begin to develop negative core beliefs. And that's the worst thing that can happen to a child, because what happens when they develop negative core beliefs, a negative sense of self, okay, eventually they're going to want to medicate that feeling, change that feeling. And that's where they act out destructively with drugs, with bullying, with domestic violence, or they act in with depression, isolation, or cutting. So it's really important to create that safe place.
Well, yesterday the CDC put out new guidelines to primary care physicians regarding the prescribing opiates specifically to chronic pain sufferers. And, you know, there was big discussion about how doctors feel about this, that, and the other, and the opiate problem, which leads me to the heroin epidemic. And I know that that's one of the things that is such a big deal. And every, you know, I think 9 out of 10 parents say, no, not my children.
Yep.
But it's not the case. Could be your kid.
That's right. That's right. First of all, it's very addictive opiates, prescription drugs, and it's no doubt that anybody can possibly get hooked on them and go to heroin as a cheaper solution. There's no doubt about that. But I'll tell you what I do know from helping hundreds of people and families with this situation is the child that feels negative about themselves, as I just said a minute ago, the child that grows up into the adult, and believe me when I tell you, negative core beliefs doesn't stop in childhood. It goes through teenagehood, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. Unless you find a place where you fix what's broken inside of you, that kind of person is going to keep going down the line. They're not going to have the courage to ask for help as quickly as other people that feel better about themselves. They're not going to be the kind of person that allows trust into their life to allow other people to help them get off of the addiction. So, yeah, sure, it's addictive to everyone, absolutely. Anyone can get addicted to those things, but again, the child that doesn't grow up with a good self-esteem and good integrity, that's going to be the adult that's going to have the most problems getting off of any kind of addiction.
Okay, so what is your best way to set a child up, for success and steer clear of these things? I mean, I know that parents are constantly thinking they're monitoring their kids, but come on, we were all kids.
Okay, I'll tell you what I tell parents, and here's a very important tip. You know, we can't control our children's behavior. Yeah, we can when they're young, and we can try and make sure we tell them to do what they need to do. But what I tell parents is, more than that, supply your children with the tools to control their own behavior, where they make healthy decisions on their own. And I'll give you a great example. My son, 8th grade, came to me last year and said, you know, Dad, some of my friends smoke weed. And they're telling me I should try it. They're telling me I would love I would love it if I tried it. Now, I'm a recovering addict. Could you imagine what that was when I heard him say that? Yeah, I wanted to tell him, I want you to stay in your room till you're 26 years old. I'll tell you when to come out. That was my first thought. But I didn't react. Instead, I said to him, what do you know about weed? What do you know about drugs? Let's talk about it. And he told me, you know, I know addiction hurts a lot of families, and sometimes I know people get hooked on it, they can't come off, and I validated his feelings. And I said, let's go on the internet and let's find some information on weed, on drugs. And we did this together. And I also gave him consequences, but in a different way. Not you're a bad kid and you deserve to be punished, but rather you make choices in life that have consequences. If you choose to buy weed or get weed or smoke weed, you're choosing to break the law. You could go to jail for that. Same thing like when a little kid doesn't put their toys away. If you don't put your toys away, you can't play with your toys tomorrow. It's teaching our kids their action creates consequences. Long story short, my son came to me a few weeks later, and I said, hey, what happened with that weed? He said, you know, Dad, I don't hang out with those kids anymore. The point of the story is I could have twisted his arm. I could have said to him, I don't want you to hang out with those kids. But I didn't. See, he made that choice on his own because he was able to come to me, first of all, safe enough to speak to me. And I thought about what I would have wanted to hear from my father at that age. It's great to guide our children, but sometimes we got to stop and let compassion guide what we say. What would we want to hear when we're really struggling from our parents? And most of the time when your kid is really struggling and really hurting, they don't need to be told what to do right away. What they need is unconditional love and understanding to let them know they're going to be okay. And then after that, you could start to guide your children. So all of these things got put into play when he came to me and was talking to me about drugs. And that's what we need, creating healthy habits, and that will lead to healthy decisions.
Yes, and I have a lot of respect for you, obviously, as a father, because your son came to you to begin with to have that conversation. You know, a lot of parents are probably thinking, wishful thinking. I wish my kid would come to me and talk about these things. You know, he brought it up. And I think that, you know, I remember being young, and there were the people who smoked pot, and then there were those who didn't. And they kind of segregated themselves. You know, either you did or you didn't. And those who did didn't hang out with the people who didn't, and the people who didn't did not hang out with the people who do.
Exactly. And if a child makes that decision, as I said, on their own, you know, not doing what their parents want them to do, but doing what they feel is what's best for them to create that integrity inside, okay, that's a child that's going to go through life with proper coping mechanisms, not coping mechanisms that when they feel bad or they're in pain or they're, I don't mean physical pain, I mean mental pain, when they're unhappy, that they're going to look to find something to escape with. That's a child that's going to learn to cope in a healthy way.
Okay, we're going to take a break when we come back, Thomas. I want to continue the conversation. We'll talk about heroin and the heroin epidemic, but also 808-0810 if you want to chime in here or weigh in. And just talking about the marijuana thing, it's going to be legalized, I'm pretty darn sure. It will come November here in the state of California. And how are you going to deal with that? I mean, and a lot of kids are smoking it anyway. So, you know, they're thinking, it's not smoking. Hey, Dad, at least I'm not smoking cigarettes. So what's the big deal? We'll chat it up coming up here next with Thomas Gagliano as our guest, and you, 808-0810.
If you're thinking about it, we're talking about it. The Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
All right, we're talking about how to talk to your kids about drugs. Thomas Gagliano is my guest. And, of course, this all comes off the trail of yesterday's announcement from the CDC issuing new guidelines about heroin, the heroin epidemic that is sweeping the country. And Thomas is the author of Don't Put Crap in Your Kid's Diaper Because the Cleanup Can Last a Lifetime. So, Thomas, I wanted to comment to you and say this. You know, I just think that at some point, your son or anybody's son or daughter are probably, they're going to try marijuana. They're going to try cigarettes. They're going to, they are going to be drinking. I mean, it's just part of life. And you said in yourself at the beginning of this conversation that you're a recovering addict. So genetically it's already there.
Yeah, but there's a big piece of nurturing here, a huge piece. And here's the nurture piece. You know, as a kid, when my father didn't come home at night, it meant he was going to come home drunk. And it meant he was going to come home. If he didn't come home at a certain time, he was going to come home drunk. It meant he was going to hurt someone. Now, here's the whole key. Instead of at a young age saying, oh, gee, my father suffers from alcoholism, a child doesn't say that. A child says, what's the matter with me? I must be unlovable. Right. I must be defective. I must be damaged.
Right, now, they blame it on themselves.
Yeah, now that negative core belief that we're talking about is going to create a need for me to find the coping mechanism that's not found with people. I stop trusting people. After all, if Dad and Mom didn't care about me, who would? And that goes through my whole life until I learned to change that and I learned to trust somebody enough, a therapist, a coach, a 12-step program. And if I don't do that, I learned to find my enjoyment with material things like alcohol, drugs, and other things. A person that doesn't have negative core beliefs could try these things, there's no doubt, but they won't look for these things as oxygen. That's the difference. A kid that grows up, most addicts, 90% of addicts begin their addiction before age 18. 18. So what happens is the addiction becomes a source of like oxygen. It's not trying a drink. It's not trying some drugs. It becomes almost like I can't live without it. That's the difference between somebody that grows up with a void inside and somebody that grows up feeling good about themselves. There's a whole different connotation to drinking and drugs. Sure, kids can try it. But when a kid doesn't feel good about themselves and they have nobody to talk about that, a tsunami of negative thoughts and ideas and messages permeate their thinking until they find something that makes them feel good, whole, tall, strong. That's where the drug has a different type of effect, or the drinking, or the gambling, or the pornography. It has a whole different effect on that child than a child that just wants to experiment and see what it's like. You follow me?
I do follow you. Let's take a call here. Kelly in Berkeley, good evening. You're on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10 with Thomas Gagliano.
Okay, so good evening, and good evening, Thomas, and I really appreciate this discussion. Here's what I think is insanity. Even as we know that it is important to, fight addiction and do the kind of things that prevent addiction, even as we know that, we are constantly saturating our environment with drugs. We're also constantly saturating our environment with the kind of lifestyle and behaviors that produce negative core values for children.
Absolutely.
And I think part of it has to do with in the sort of secondary insanity is that our system is addicted to money. And money is one of the things that's fueling the pharmaceutical industry and one of the things that's fueling the producers of marijuana. And so if we weren't addicted to money, we might have a little bit easier time fighting addiction.
Okay. All right. That's a very good point. So, yes, controlling the money that your child is given.
Well, let me touch on it. She makes a great point. To me, that's overindulging our children. And parents got to understand that when we feel guilty, when we're not spending enough time with our children, and look, many of us are working all the time. We're not doing something bad. We're saving for their colleges, homes. But here's the key. If when we feel guilty, we could take a positive action or a negative one. A positive action is, let me spend at least more time with my child, 5 minutes a day, whatever night. A negative action is, let me buy them things. Let me buy them things to medicate their feelings or to change that feeling. So I'm teaching my child that when something bothers you, go get a video game and it'll make you feel better. You could buy them a bottle of scotch too, but the point is, overindulging our children is one of the worst things I see parents do, and they're doing it because they feel guilty. Also, these parents now, they call them the helicopter parents, they're rushing in to always overprotect their children. Those children are not learning coping mechanisms. They're not learning how to get out of their own messes. You know, it's great when your child is in real danger. Our job as parents is to keep them safe. We got to go and rush in, no doubt. But let your child develop some coping mechanisms. My child was bullied, and I didn't rush in. I said, well, what can you do now? Could you sit on the other side of the room? Could you not talk to that child? If it got tough, I was there for him, and I stood in for him. But let your child develop coping mechanisms, because guess what, parents? They're going to get old enough someday, and they're going to need to know how to deal with life without you. And if they don't have enough self-esteem to do that, they're going to turn around and be mad at the person that rescued them all the time. And also, they're more prone to, again, medicating themselves with something to make them feel good enough. So there's a lot of things we do. Even the media creates a better than and less than situation for kids. The media tells the kids what clothes to wear, what weight to be, what size to be, who they should hang out with. And it creates a better than and less than attitude with our children, which again creates more negative core beliefs. So I agree with this lady that there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of messaging going on from all different places, from parents, media, and other areas that are creating somebody that is very susceptible to addictive behavior.
Yes, and here in the Bay, there's a lot of money floating around. This is very interesting. Thomas Gagliano is my guest, and he is the author of Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper. The cleanup can last a lifetime. It's great stuff, Thomas. I appreciate your time very much. Job well
Absolutely.
Done.
Absolutely. Thank job, you very much well for having done. Me.
All right, thank you, and we will link all of this to KGORadio.com. And take a look at it. Coming up, we will continue the conversation later on in the show about the CDC, you know, issuing these new guidelines to primary care physicians regarding the prescription and prescribing opiates. Because some of this, especially with adults who have been through trauma or have, you know, been injured severely, me, myself, I had three surgeries last year. I have very strong opinions about this, and I want to talk about it. I heard Chip Franklin talking about it yesterday, and I couldn't help but give him a call as I almost drove off the road. But that's the way it goes. I love Chip Franklin very much. But, yeah, I have a little bit of a different view on all of this because I was one of these people who was underprescribed because there was a 90-day cutoff, and they cut me off. You know, and I'm the guy who had 27 staples in his stomach. Can you imagine? It's like, oh, well, you know, we hit day 90. Take some Tylenol and good luck with that. Yikes. We'll leave it at that. All right, we're going to take a break and we'll be back. Let me take a look here. We are just chock full of guests tonight. Dr. Tracy Weiland, I love this. She's going to talk about... She's a prominent leader through the technology industry in Stanford and right here in the Bay Area. She's going to talk about Generation Z. Here come the Generation Z women. That's right. Not millennials, people. Next, Z. That's coming up on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.